Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. I saw Dr. Drew all day today, or at least half a day today, on some man show shoot. And then he winged off to Washington, D.C., and I think he's doing Good Morning America or something like that.
Hi, Bruce.
Somebody dropped a nickel in D.C., and Wade and Rob are both here from Unwritten Law. Unwritten Law is was in here about six, 7 months ago, I think in January. And just got off a tour with No Doubt, European tour, and is getting ready to start up their own tour again. And we're going to hear something off Elva, the CD. And what else? What am I missing?
What are you missing?
Yeah. Did I miss anything?
We also played with Die Totenhosen. And we also played, who else we play with? The Doors, I believe. Open the show.
Doors open for you guys?
Yeah, they open the show. They've been opening all the shows.
They're always on the list.
I know. They just won't.
The show sheet.
I hear you guys are going out with Thin Lizzy.
Yes.
In October.
We're resurrecting them right now in my studio.
And we're working on a deal with a Little River Band.
Oh, sweet. So you guys finally decided to rock.
Yes.
Dead rock stars.
And when you go out and start your tour again? In September? August, September?
We're kind of torn out, but right now we're getting ready to go record up at the Yosemite National Park acoustic set with a bunch of Indian tribes, the Crow, necessarily Indian tribes. So
really?
We're stoked on that. So
music in high places.
Oh, yeah.
You just
cut
me right off, Rob.
Yeah. Is that like VH1?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen that, but I didn't know you guys were doing it, and I didn't know you were going to Yosemite to do this.
Yeah, we're meeting with the tribes before we actually go there to do it, so we're, like, reading up about them and stuff, and they're rad. They're such rad to get, like, in touch with people who really care about the earth, and then, you know.
Have you been to Yosemite?
No, not in this life.
I've never been there, huh?
I'll tell you. Bruce, you've been to Yosemite?
Oh, yeah, the State of the Ioannis.
Great. Yeah, beautiful hotel. Yeah. The Yosemite is breathtaking. It really is. It's one of the most breathtaking places in the world. Okay. And it's not like a lot of nature where you walk around and you go, it's nice, feels nice, breathe fresh air, convene with nature. This is like, holy ass.
Right.
You look up at Half Dome.
El Capitan.
Or El Capitan. Geysers. And you stand in the valley and you just look up at these 4,000-foot granite peaks.
No, wait a minute. Wait, did you say Yosemite? Wait,
he's got
that's
the
Yellowstone. That's Jellystone, Yogi.
Oh, you
not Yellowstone
geysers.
You're talking about the geysers. Oh yeah,
the geysers.
Yeah, I didn't know if they had geysers or not. So
another earthquake, there'll be a geyser.
Yeah,
when the big one hits, we'll all know it.
Just stay out of the campgrounds near the parking lots.
Yeah, they'll kill you.
It's a TV set
or Yogi's basket.
So wait a minute. Is it Yellowstone?
It's Yellowstone.
Or
it's Jellystone.
Oh. He had it wrong. It's Yellowstone.
Let me
up
tell
in,
you,
like, Montana.
Let me
so
tell
is
you,
that still like?
Let
the
me
most
tell you guys something. You need to go to Jellystone because it is breathtaking over there, and it's not just convening with nature. I mean, it is. I'm giving the same speech now for the second part. So, yeah.
The Ranger's not gonna like this too much, Yogi.
Hey, Boo Boo. Gonna get some picnic baskets. All right. So that's coming up. When? Couple of weeks?
Yeah, in 2 weeks we go. We fly there, and some of us are driving there. But the great thing about it is we're going up there to actually, like, really get touch with the earth. And it's, like, ancient peoples, and they're going to hopefully, like, let us conjoin with them and with our music. So it'll be actually something really cool to do and not just same old going out and just doing rock concerts. We're actually doing something.
So you're going to be doing, like, an all-acoustic thing, and they're going to be hitting the
the peyote thing. Who knows? Yeah. Medicine room. Or who knows what they do? They're Indians, so they're
odd freaks.
Don't try and pet the caribou. When I used to go backpacking there, and I'd say I'm from New York, and they'd say, oh, yeah, last person from New York, they tried to pet one of the elk, and it gored him.
Speared him in the butt.
Killed him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a bad way to go.
Don't
the moose
the
chase you. The bears chase you.
All right. Yeah. But, hey, listen, go to Yosemite anyway after that big speech.
I have been to Yosemite.
Oh, you have?
Think about it. Okay. I have when I was younger.
Good. Go again.
Okay.
Fiona, right now.
I will.
Go. Get the F out of here. Go to Yosemite.
I got to jump on my ship.
Fiona?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah. Well, this is really great to be talking to you guys.
Good times.
Great. Oh, yeah, and I wanted to say something to Unwritten Law really quick. I don't know you guys' music, but if you're going to go to, like, peyote with the Indians, you should read this book called Teachings of Don Juan first.
Yes, yes, I know that book. That's a great one. Is it the Sorcerer's Stone or the Teachings of Don Juan or the Eagle's Gift or...
It's Teachings of Don Juan.
Yes, that's the first one?
Yeah.
The Power of Silence is good, too, huh?
I haven't read it. I want to get the other ones.
It's great.
How do you know all these books?
Because I read them.
Wow. I'll tell you. Let me tell you something about this Wade. I keep unpeeling him. He's like an onion. There's another layer.
Yep.
He's getting 8 teaspoons of sugar in his coffee. I found out earlier that his mom used to hide the A1 sauce from him because he chugged it. Now he reads.
Adversity
he's
early on.
Voracious
life.
Reader. Yeah. He thinks he may have been to Yosemite. I mean, this guy's a mystery, man.
Oh, man.
So rare to capture one alive.
I'm a rare species.
That is diverse, man. Fiona?
Yeah?
All right, what's your question, please?
Okay, I can only get, like, aroused by fantasizing that I'm being held, like, against my will or being forced to have sex, like, with somebody.
You too?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, has this ever happened to you in real life?
My brother, like, used to touch me and stuff, and, like, we'd fight, like, all the time. Like,
yeah, he molested you?
Probably.
It was, like, he'd just touch me. Like, I guess it's...
Thanks, bro.
You just grab at your parts?
Yeah.
When you were how old?
I don't remember exactly. Like, it's probably when I was, like, 9 or 10 or something.
Well,
how old is he?
He's 2 years older than me.
That's something a little weird.
Yeah, a little chaos early on, it sounds like. And have you gone to counseling? Have you had any?
I'm going to therapy right now. And, like,
you talk about this?
I haven't really talked to her about, like, the fantasies yet. But about all the other stuff, like, she tells me, like, just I have to give it time.
Yeah. Thing to remember, your therapist will not be surprised, or you shouldn't be embarrassed about anything that comes up, you know, things that you think about, fantasize. There's a reason for all that stuff. And if you want to have a healthy relationship eventually and, you know, pair off and get married or hook up with somebody on a long-term basis, you really need to deal with these issues. And your therapist...
Well, a lot of girls are into a little rough trade.
Me and my sister did that. Right. We think it's fine.
I did with Wade's sister, too.
We
it's
do.
No big deal.
No. Where's Winnetka?
Just experimenting. It's in the
alley. Where?
It's kind of by, like, Canoga Park.
Yeah, that's the street you live on. That's not your city
in. No, yeah, it is a city. They changed it to the city. It used to be Canoga Park, now it's Winnetka.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
North Hollywood has turned into Valley Village. Yeah, you know, by the way, you know the valley's getting bad or your neighborhood's getting bad when your city's gone so far downhill that a small corner of your city decides it doesn't want to be called the name of your city, which is what happened where I'm from. I'm from North Hollywood, and a small corner decided, hey, we can't be associated with the North Hollywoods anymore because our houses aren't worth anything, so we have to start calling ourselves Valley Village. And now it's spread all the way out to Canoga Park because this is now Winnetka. That's bad, by the way, you know?
And
I don't think, to me, you can't do that, can you?
Lark.
You just start calling your city a different name within the city it's always been in?
We did that to the Indians.
Yeah. Winnetka's an Indian name.
Yes.
Winnetka, corn goodness. All right.
How?
Yeah.
Why?
Maggie?
Yeah.
You're 19?
18.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Hey, how are you, Adam?
Good. New York. You're calling from New York?
Yes.
We stole the Indians.
God's country.
Hold on for a second. Let's see what states we have. Phil?
Yeah.
You're calling from Minnesota?
Yeah, I am.
Stole that from the Indians.
Winnetka.
From the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, who stole it from the Indians? And then Stephen?
Yes.
Maryland?
Yes.
Stole that from the Indians.
Yeah, Virginia.
And Virginia, let's see. Jonathan?
Yep.
Virginia?
Yep.
We stole that from the Indians.
Correct.
Okay. Here was our plan many years ago. A bunch of white guys landed over here and said, listen, we steal half the country from the Indians, the other half we steal from the Mexicans.
Yeah.
All right? Break. And we all just spread out.
Yeah. Break.
But listen, almost everywhere was stolen from somebody at some point, right?
They paid good money for Manhattan, though.
Yeah, it was like a penny every 7,000 acres or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It was nice how, you know, it was nice.
Yeah. I like those. You hear about those, like, land deals, like Alaska and stuff. Bought it from the Soviet Union. Is that who we bought it from? I was like, yeah, we'll give you 4 cents an acre. Yeah. Oh, that's an outrage.
What a deal.
You,
we
can't have 5 cents. Flag. You don't have a flag. You got to put a flag in it first.
Maggie, where are you from in New York?
I'm from Rego Park.
All right. I'm from Long Island, so I can appreciate
it. Oh, awesome. Where?
Jericho.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Hicksville.
That's a gay neighborhood. Go ahead, Maggie.
Adam, before I say my question, I just want to say that me and my brother have been a big-time fan forever.
Great.
Since, like, last year, and I just want to say that I hope one day you convert to Judaism.
I'm gonna.
We both get married under the chuppah with Rabbi Shmuley Botiach doing our chuppah, but okay.
Yeah, I'll break the first set of dishes on your head. Yeah. No, listen, I've been thinking about this. When the all the years I did construction, I was never thought to be a Jew. But now that I do comedy, everyone thinks I'm Jewish. So I'm thinking about just going with the whole Jew thing.
You don't seem Jewish.
I am. I like, you see the nappy hair and the big eyebrows, and you mix that in with the sense of humor and the complaining constantly. People do the math. All right, Maggie. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. Like, for this really long time, since I was, like, very young, I had this thing, an obsession with, like, picking. Like, I'd always, like, pick my legs or, like, my face, but not
stop
so much my
picking
face.
It.
Like, just picking. Like, it's a really bad obsession.
Eureka!
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to, like, pick my hair, you know, like, pick it, and then I stopped that because it's just, you know, and got boring, so.
You pick your butt?
No. That's, no, only, like, my legs or my face or the back of my arms. Like, I'm just obsessed. And until I don't get it out, I'll, like, start shaking. It's, like, it's weird. I've always been like this.
You don't, wait a minute. Until you get what out? What's in there?
Until I don't get out, like, the white head or the hair or whatever. And it's not like I have really bad skin. I have good skin. But if I see something, like, that I don't like, I'll, like, go insane until I don't get it out.
What are you smoking?
Yeah. Nothing. I am so clean. Right, I don't do any of that. I haven't even tried a cigarette in my life.
People will observe that behavior and probably accuse you of using methamphetamine or some stimulant, and that's not the case.
I don't do any of
but
that.
What you're describing is a disorder, and it's something that can be treated. And
I've had an eating disorder for a really long time already.
Right. Okay. Interestingly enough, eating disorders and some of the self-mutilation, cutting on yourself, which is different from what you have, trichotillomania, twisting your hair, obsessive compulsive disorder, they are related, and there's a lot of research going on right now. So the thing to do, you'd have to see a psychiatrist. And
okay.
You got to see about getting some medication, probably.
Right. All right.
I'm not into that whole, like, Prozac, Mozac, whatever it is, and then, like, well, have a side effect that it's, like, anal leakage or something.
No. That's, first of all, the...
Hold on. Quiet down. Anal leakage is the least of your problems, honey. If you want to marry me, sweet pea, you got to get it together.
So come to New York.
Because of the Corollas, we pick our ass, we pick our nose, and that's where it stops. And in that order, by the way. You understand?
But my legs have gotten so bad, it looks like I'm sick.
That's my point. I will not marry a woman who has sick legs. I need you to get on meds.
You gotta see me.
I need you to stabilize.
Adam, when you see me, you'll be like, oh, my God.
I'm closing my eyes right now, and it doesn't look good.
Have you been dumpster diving?
All you know is my skin. All you know is my skin, Adam.
Yeah, that's all I need to know. That's what wraps you, you idiot.
Yeah, but not on my face or my arms.
Yeah, but I will see your legs soon enough when they're up behind your ears.
Behind your ears at 12 o'clock.
All right.
Okay.
Maggie, you got to get on some medication.
There's lots of psychiatrists in New York.
Or you got to stop picking.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I stop for a week.
Picking at it.
Oh, you stop for a week.
No,
and
it's
now
not
you're
gonna
doing
happen.
It.
For a week, and then I, like, find something in and I start.
Yeah, I understand that part. That's the part that needs the medication.
Yeah.
How do people argue with you? You know, they're like, I don't want the medication.
Where's the
I don't want to stop picking.
No. Very,
then
very
stop,
difficult.
Then don't call us.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you, I must pick my nose like 15 times a mile on the road. You know what I mean?
You could
find me just by following a trail of boogers on the road. Like, you know, I think Hansel and Gretel, like, left some popcorn or something. You could follow the boogers. You'd get to my house.
I don't think there's a medication that would help that.
Really?
In your case, no. I think you'd drive.
I'd do my ass while I was driving, but I can't get to it.
Four fingers?
I can't get to my ass while I'm driving. One day, some genius will invent a car seat that'll let me scratch my ass while I'm driving.
It's a juicer.
Is that what it is? I got to do something. I, like, mount a corn cob onto my seat or something.
Nothing wrong with that.
A juicer.
Steven?
A football.
Steven, you're 13.
Yes.
13.
Yes.
What's up?
First of all, I was originally from Las Vegas. We just moved to Maryland last year.
Stole that from the Mexicans.
Yeah. Well, sort of. But I'm
Continue.
Part Native American, so.
Cool.
Oh, we stole from the Indians then.
Well, I back you then. Right. I like you. You're definitely better than the Judas one.
What are you from, the Kino tribe?
Sioux.
Awesome.
Oh, okay. So. That was a little Vegas humor there.
Sitting Bull was from Sioux, right?
Sitting Bull.
Okay.
What percentage are you of Native American?
I think I'm either 1/8 or 1/4.
Oh, jeez, honky.
So you're not getting any money from the casinos then?
No.
All right.
How?
You got a question?
Yeah, I got a couple. First of all, it's about my mom. She has been chewing the nicotine gum for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was born, she smoked, and then she stopped because she realized she was pregnant, and she wanted to stop smoking so I wouldn't be born messed up or whatever.
Right.
And a couple years later, the nicotine gum came out, and she started using that. And to this day, she's still using it.
Right.
And it's not like it's every once in a while. This will be several times a day. Every time I see her, she'll be chewing the gum.
All right, so what about that, Bruce? What do you know about that nicotine gum?
Well, who cares?
It's common for somebody to start chewing the gum and quit smoking. But you're saying she quit smoking,
yeah.
She was off the cigarettes, and then later on started chewing the gum?
Yes.
Okay.
Bruce, don't drag it out. Come on. What about the nicotine gum?
Well,
is it bad for you?
No.
Is nicotine bad for you?
It's not bad for you, but it is.
What's nicotine? It's a stimulant?
It has various effects. It actually acts as an antidepressant. It acts in many different areas of your brain. And the reason it's so difficult to stop is because it has a very potent antidepressant effect. And the irritability that you see in actual depression when someone stops smoking is what nicotine withdrawal is all about. So it really doesn't matter. She's much better off chewing that. There are no known long-term side effects of chewing Nicorette gum or using the inhaler.
I mean, but it's been out for 3 years, so I mean,
no, but
people
nicotine
could start dropping
itself.
Like flies 3 years from now.
Yeah. No, it's
no,
it's
okay.
Not a problem. But
get off her back, Stephen.
Oh, well, that wasn't the thing. It's just that she was sort of taking it as an, you know, when she gets mad or something, she'll just start chewing the gum. It's almost like it's a nervous tick or...
Hey, listen, Stephen, you're 13.
Yeah.
I didn't even know my mom's first name until I was 24.
Well, she's old.
I really didn't. I had no idea what she was
but
doing.
But she may be self-medicating something else.
Is she old? So is she older?
Well, sort of. She's 50, but she's, like, really weird.
Really? Well, guess what? I think you're going to be weird, too. And it's all right to be weird on this planet because it's better than not being weird, dude.
Yeah. I mean, look at Wade. He did shots right. of A1, and it ruined his brain.
Yes.
But, Steven, you can talk to
and
her.
And I outlived Jim Fix.
I doubt she's going to listen to your recommendation to see a psychiatrist.
Hold on. Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
I'm going to bet anyone in this room $1. I'll put up $50 to their every $1. If Steven knows who Jim Fix is. Anyone want to taste, Wade?
Okay. Well, that's because he's dead now.
He's dead.
You want to taste?
No.
He's a health nut.
Wade, do you know who Jim Fix is?
Yes, he's a health and fruit nut, a running guy that used to jog every day and get fit, and he had a heart attack while jogging.
Yeah, this is a valuable lesson to everyone listening. This is why you should never jog or give up smoking.
Steven.
Steven, listen.
Yeah.
Your mom's a little nutty. I'm sorry to hear that. Most moms are a little bit nutty. Uh-huh. Most all women are nutty, and then they go even nuttier when they become moms.
Amen.
Okay, so here's what you need to do. Not worry about her chewing Nicorette gum. Start hanging out with your buddies. Get your grades good.
I do.
And then one day, go far, far away to college, away from your nutty mom.
It sounds like she's self-medicating something else.
Yeah.
So, sounds a little different from the typical Nicorette.
She's chewing Nicorette. Let's broad a break here.
Ticks, and he's talking about some other things, too.
All right, but who does not have a nutty mom? Do you know what I mean? Throw out a little piece.
My mom's normal.
Your mom's
totally normal.
Well, what happened to you? You got raised by nutty gypsies? You're
from
a
Brooklyn.
Mess.
Brooklyn.
All
Brooklyn
right.
did it.
Let's hear something from Unwritten Law. What do you say?
All right. Here's to you, buddy.
We got something queued up there? No? Yes? What are you guys doing?
This is a new
doing?
Song. Wait, it takes a minute.
Play a song?
It takes a minute to come in.
Hey, Lauren. Lauren, you know how we always play a song from the band during the first break when they're on the radio show? Are you prepared for that? Did you discuss that? All right. You're just figuring that out?
You're here
gone.
We go. Here it is.
Ready to go?
Hey, right. Now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go right. Play.
This one's called Seeing Red.
There's a ghost in the machine, Adam.
I'm seeing red. Don't think you'll have to see my face again. Don't have much time for sympathy. Cause it never happened to me. You're feeling blue now. I think you're bit off more than you could chew. And now it's time to make a choice. And all I wanna hear is yours. So follow the leader now. And swallow your pride and drown. When there's no place left to go, maybe that's when you will know. Follow the leader down. And swallow your pride and drown. When there's no place left to go, maybe that's when you will know. Can't you see I try to compromise? 'Cause what you say, yeah, you know it's true. And I can see the tears in your eyes. And what you said now can't stop the words from running through my head. And what I do to get through to you.
Unwritten Law, everybody. Elvis, the name of the CD. Rob and Wade are both here from the band. And Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of your calls after this.
Loveline.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Dr. Bruce.
Dr. Bruce, close that door, please.
You know, Bruce breathalyzed us when we got here.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about that little pocket breathalyzer you have there.
Pocket rocket.
I blew into one of those yesterday after drinking about 8 beers, and the thing registered a .06, and I thought, I got to be a little higher than that.
8 beers over what period of time?
Well, I was doing a shot a minute, so they're about a about an ounce and a half, and I did 100 of them, so it's about an hour and 40 minutes. So when I was done, it was an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust one in terms of drinking, testing, and then go out and drive. I mean, it's not a good idea. It's more of a something.
Well, that was my green light to
go to Vegas.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, Bruce, about the alcohol and your body's absorption of it. And I know it makes a difference what you ate and a few things like that.
Not really.
Doesn't make a difference.
No.
So drinking booze on a full stomach is no different than drinking booze on an empty stomach.
How rapidly it gets into your system, how fast your alcohol level will peak, things like that. But people that say, well, if you drink some olive oil and you won't absorb as much and things like this, there are a lot of wives' tales about that.
What if you eat bread and run?
Hold on, wives.
So like
I didn't say drink olive oil. I said eat a meal.
Yeah, it's not going to be absorbed as quickly, possibly, but it's absorbed in your esophagus. It's not just, it has to get to your stomach.
What if you drink it anally?
Yeah.
Very high absorption anally, anything. Very good absorptive surface.
So if you put, let's say, a couple feet of radiator hose up your ass, and then you put a funnel, and you just took like a 750 milliliter pop-off vodka, and you just start dumping it down the funnel, would you just die of alcohol poisoning when you finished a bottle?
You'd funnel a geyser out your butt, Yellowstone.
You'd be pretty drunk pretty quickly. But you'd have some nasty diarrhea.
You could sort of kill yourself that way, couldn't
absolutely.
You?
You get a rupture, dude.
But you wouldn't throw up. Would you? I mean, it wouldn't be in your stomach.
Your butt barf.
No, it's the effect of alcohol.
You can drink the water, but your butt barf.
It's not a direct effect in terms of nausea and vomiting. That's an effect on your alcohol level, the effect on your brain. There's an area of your brain.
Oh, so you
medulla oblongata.
You could get jacked up enough to vomit even if the stuff didn't travel
absolutely.
Into your stomach.
Right.
All right, but answer my question and stop arguing with me all the time. First off, if you had a full meal and drank, the effects would be a little less and a little slower than if you had an empty stomach. True or false?
Yeah, you'd achieve
okay,
the same blood
shut
alcohol.
Up. You would.
Yeah. You get drunk quicker. As a professional, I could second that.
I can attest to that, too. Okay. I try to get answers out of Bruce. I try to discuss it.
Come on,
Bruce. He's so goddamn combative about everything I say. Like, if I have an idea, it's got to be wrong, so then we never get off of square one with you, Bruce.
Bruce!
Okay, so Dr. Bruce says no difference between having a full meal and having an absolutely empty stomach when it comes to drinking.
Right?
Number one. That's what Bruce says. That's what Bruce is saying. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, everyone,
look at that as the gospel now. That's the truth.
I know what you're getting at. Like, if you eat a pound of bread or a pound of scrambled eggs, you think the bread would absorb more of the alcohol and then...
I notice that if I'm on an empty stomach and I have a couple of beers, I get the buzz quick.
You know this,
and if
I know this, we know this.
We all know this. And if you're out eating Mexican food and you're pounding away a bunch of chimichangas and stuff, you can drink a few beers, not really have that same effect. You don't feel the lightheadedness. You don't feel the buzz of the alcohol.
I'm just trying to avoid the misnomer people have that if you
Bruce,
eat, you're not going
to
get drunk.
I'm done talking to you, idiot.
Time out,
Bruce. You drive me nuts. I don't care about the goddamn misnomer. I'm just asking you some questions. Is it truth or it's not the truth? You
it
need to answer those
absorption.
Things.
That's what I said. It's going to delay.
All
absorption.
Right, Bruce, you're right.
All right. I had a whole bunch of questions to ask you, but we can't get past square one because you can't stop arguing with me about everything. Jesus Christ. Mark?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
Guys drive me nuts. You hear me?
I'm doing my job.
Yeah, doing your job.
You suck.
Let me say this. Hold on a second. I got to say something about doctors. I here's the problem with doctors. It's a problem with Bruce. It's a problem with all you quacks. It's like you say to a doctor, look, I smoke a couple cigarettes a day. It's bad. That's bad. You got to quit smoking. And then you go, well, wait a minute. It's not as bad as smoking two packs a day. It's bad. It's just as bad. It's like, no, it's not just as bad as smoking two packs a day. He heard smoke. Yeah. Said, you got to quit, and that's it. Yeah. But what the problem is they try to sell the fact that everything's bad, everything's just as bad. Smoking two cigarettes a day is the same as smoking two packs a day. You're still smoking, and you've got to quit. But that's misleading. It's not the truth.
But you know what percentage of people can smoke?
I don't care. That's not your job to try to figure out what percentage. I don't want you to do the goddamn math. I want you to answer the question.
You can't endorse smoking two cigarettes a day because 97% of people cannot do that.
That's not the question I'm asking. The question I'm asking is, isn't two cigarettes a day better than two packs a day? The answer is yes. That's the question I'm asking.
Answer the damn question, Bruce.
That's what I'm saying. That's what doctors do. They got to do the math all the time, and it drives me nuts. It's better to have a full stomach and have a couple of beers than it is to have an empty stomach and have a couple of beers if you were driving, let's say.
No.
Agree with us, Bruce.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. If for your child, if you had a 16-year-old and you said you can have three beers and drive to your friend's house and back, or you can have a full stomach, three beers, and drive to your friend's house and back, which would you choose?
Food in the stomach.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
But
why?
That was
why?
A good one.
Thank
finally,
you.
Look how deep he had to get just
I had to
get
dig.
That answer.
Ultimately, you're going to achieve the same blood alcohol. So if somebody's going to drink enough to get to a .08, sure.
They might as well shoot heroin in their eyeballs, huh?
Or the,
that's right.
Or the
right.
penis.
You can smoke one cigarette, or you can smoke a carton of cigarettes every 10 minutes, or you could shoot heroin in your eyeballs, or you could do Tylenol PM. It's all the same.
Or chew gum.
Okay. Does Drew get any extra psychiatric compensation?
Oh, just quiet down. If you would just stop fighting me and answer the goddamn questions, because I had some more questions about alcohol that we could never get to because you'd never stop fighting.
Oh, I'm crushed.
I want you to give me the honest answers. I don't want any spin on it. I don't want you to do any damage control. No one's going to sue you.
I can give you honest answers.
Yes.
I'll come back again.
Just shut up and listen to me. How long, if you're drinking, let's say you drank a six pack, and let's just say you drank six beers one after the other, and you put them all down in 15 minutes. When would your blood alcohol level be at its highest? Would it be at its highest soon as you finish that six beer? Or would it be highest an hour from
probably
then?
Probably about an hour.
About an hour.
You metabolize about a drinking hour, whether it's a shot
what
of whiskey
or beer.
What if
you drink it and then run a lap?
Doesn't matter. Running laps,
right.
Drinking
push-ups.
Coffee.
All right. So you'd be lower. I mean, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. I drank like 8 or 9 beers yesterday for some man show bit, and I did it all in about an hour, hour and a half, right? And I blew this breathalyzer right at the end of that, and it's the breathalyzer said like .06.
Same one you got in your pocket, Bruce.
Now, I should be higher than that, right?
Because right, you're probably on the way up.
But an hour later, when I got home, I felt drunker than I was when I blew the breathalyzer.
Did you drive?
Well, not really, no.
The other interesting thing is if you look at somebody that's .06 on the way up, and then when they're .06 on the way back down, their impairment's more when the alcohol is going up than when it's coming down. But, of course, the police don't care.
But if it was a .7, then it was safe.
Yeah.
Well, it's not safe.
So can we end this stupid? He ain't answering the question.
All right.
So you drove home.
Yeah, well, I had a PA drive me home.
There you go.
That's what we're saying for the record. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Me and my boyfriend both have herpes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if genital herpes could be given to on the lips.
Yes,
it can. But you don't hear about it that much, do you?
No.
Well, not you. I'm asking Brian.
People don't, doctors don't always type 1 and 2. 1 is the oral, 2 is the genital.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know by looking at it?
No.
So if you have oral herpes, you can put it onto someone's genitals. And if someone has genital herpes, they can put it on your mouth.
Right.
And type 1 and type 2 is just where it is, or it's a different type of herpes?
It's a different type of herpes.
Okay. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this stuff. Wait, have a shot of A1 and mellow out, would you?
I
have one more question. Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm on Depo.
Right.
And, that messed me up later when I decide to have kids. That mess my system up?
No.
No.
Not at all.
All right. You're calling from Antioch?
Yes.
We stole that from the Indians.
Yes.
Or the Mexicans. All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good times. I wonder if the Indians stole anything from the Mexicans or the Mexicans stole anything from the Indians.
I think Indians stole the scalps off Bruce.
Let's do that breathalyzer again.
Mark?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, I am. I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I have, I have had some back problems for about 4 years now. I have 3 bulging discs, and I've been prescribed Vicodin since it first started, but most recently, within the last year, it's been something that I'm almost constantly taking. And I would say within the last few months, it's something that I'm having to take every day, just because the pain is so severe, and I can't be comfortable laying down, standing up, sitting down, basically in any position for longer than probably 10 minutes at a time, so I'm having to take...
How many do you take a day?
I would say a day, on average, probably about 10 a day.
Drew told me that he's detoxed people who are eating 100 a day.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Then, over 100 a day?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay,
that's called Bogarting. That's why you can only afford 10.
How could you stomach that?
I don't know. What people can build a tolerance to is absolutely amazing. But go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, so Vicodin is basically Tylenol or acetaminophen and hydrocodone. And whether it's Norco or Vicodin or any of the other brand names, it's a real problem. And once you're taking it every day, it's going to lose its effectiveness. You develop a tolerance to it very rapidly. And anyone with the kind of pain you have needs to go to a pain management center or a pain specialist, which can be an anesthesiologist with extra training, an internist. But there are other things you can do. You cannot be on Vicodin long term. Anything over a few days or a couple of weeks, and you're going to defeat the whole purpose. And it's extremely addictive. As Drew's mentioned, and I can tell you, I've detoxed more people from Vicodin than any other pharmaceutical, and the long-term from that drug is very difficult for people. It's
And after a while, you don't even know why your body hurts, because it might just want some more Vicodin, right?
Right.
Well, that's not the case. I mean, I'm having, like, shooting spasms that go down my legs, and it's not something that I'm taking just because I feel like I need to have it.
No, I understand. But shooting pain is not well treated by Vicodin. There are other medications that are better. There are things like Neurontin, seizure medications that actually are better for shooting pain. So you need to go to a pain specialist. Taking 10 Vicodin a day at this point is really not even helping your pain.
You know what I've noticed from doing this show? Almost everybody with a chronic, like, back problems under the age of 50 is a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Like, unless they're sort of, unless they tell me a story about buying it on a motorcycle, I mean, really something horrific, it's usually, they end up being drug addicts.
They do.
I don't know if they were drug addicts
before.
Bruce, everyone you talk to with the bulging disc and the this and the that, a lot of it turns out to be sort of spurious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a very complex picture. And then you get into the psychological, the depression and other comorbid or coexistent problems.
Yeah, but hey Bruce, in this case, if somebody, like his question he's asking, how do they usually overcome it? What's the biggest way to overcome that you've seen?
Nice question, Wade.
Many times I get,
really simple.
Get a referral from an orthopedist or somebody that's dealing with, they're good at dealing with somebody breaks a bone, you give them some pain medication, it starts to heal and they're fine. But when you get to chronic pain, it's a totally different story and you need to see somebody that specializes in treating that kind of
pain. A pain specialist.
You could put in low doses of an opiate into the spinal canal. You can use other medications that are non-addictive. Well, you don't get loaded off of it. That's the whole idea.
Well, I'll dig it out with a ballpoint pen and eat it when I'm drunk.
But if you are a drug addict, will that help?
Yes. Okay. And the idea is many doctors that are good at treating acute pain or short-term pain, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to get the patient off the medication. How do you get this guy off his 10 Vicodin a day?
A 12-step program?
And by the way, his 10 Vicodin a day has got to be 20 Vicodin a day.
Not necessarily, but
He was hedging.
Yeah.
He was hemming and hawing a little bit.
Yeah.
It's more than 10.
Not everybody that's taking 10 Vicodin a day, the difference between addiction and physical dependence, you can be physically dependent on a drug where if you stop taking it, you get withdrawal symptoms and you're not addicted. Addiction is abuse. It's more taking more than your doctor prescribes. It's lying about what you're taking.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference between physical dependence.
All right, all right, Russ, let's go. I'm going to get on some Vicodin. You keep rambling.
Detoxing.
I'm going to sniff glue. Hang in there, dude.
Wade.
So you need a pain specialist, hopefully, and I hope you get better, dude, because it sounds like a kind of bummed out thing you're going through, dude.
All right.
So pain specialist, Bruce?
Yes. Wade, you've done enough, really. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
I'm trying to keep up to par with you.
Unwritten laws, our guest and I. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. I had the misfortune of working with today before he went off to Washington, D.C. I think he's going to be doing a Good Morning America tomorrow or something. Oh, who cares?
What are you doing the man show?
He played a doctor. Dr. Drew is the only guy I know who can't pull himself off. It's like, Doctor, I've seen cigar store Indians that were less wooden in front of the camera than Dr. Drew. But he really, he doesn't do a very convincing version of himself.
Yeah, what did you have him doing?
Method acting.
He was playing Dr. Drew in a bit.
Examining part of your body?
No, rectal humor.
Okay.
No rectal humor. He cloned me. It's called splitting the atom. Very controversial bit. Hmm. Really makes you take a look at yourself and society. Rob and Wade are both here from Unwritten Law.
That was pretty deep, dude.
That was heavy, man.
Yeah. All right.
Like, for instance, if you cloned yourself, could you blow yourself?
Without the other one knowing it?
No. I mean, could you cut a deal with your clone? Is that gay? Is that masturbation? What is that? Do you see what I'm saying?
That's playing kind of the creator of yourself, I'd think. You know, so you got to make up the rules, I guess.
Your clone is a completely separate person.
Yeah, but
just be genetically
identical.
Couldn't
you give yourself a hand job? Wouldn't that just be masturbating? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't want you to answer. I want everyone just to think about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Really give that some thought.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Could you have oral with yourself? Could you 69 yourself if you were a clone, man?
Could you bone yourself?
No, that's gay.
I know, but
that's good.
So how did Drew address that question today on The Man Show?
We didn't ask him. We just told him to get his lab coat and stethoscope and shut up. He's in charge of cloning, not the moral conundrums that come along with it. Jared?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Just had some questions for you and Unwritten Law.
Here they are.
I have a band, and we're all 14 and 15, and been a band for a year or two.
What's the name of the band?
Angry Neighbors.
What neighbors?
Angry.
Angry Neighbors.
Yeah, we're a punk.
Sounds good.
Where are you guys from?
Maryland, D.C. area.
Well, Unwritten Law was started when I was 12.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They
12 years old.
They stole the name from the Indians.
Yes. Or some, we got it. It was a cosmic FedEx, I guess. No, but that's great. You know what? I think that's the raddest thing in the world, and keep expressing yourself because we need your help because the world is doomed as I see it.
Yeah, I mean, without young bands like yourself, the world's going to tilt off its axis.
When the big one hits, it ain't going to even out, huh, Bruce?
No. I think Angry Neighbors sounds like a descriptive name. Do you piss off all the neighbors when you play?
Well, yeah, that's actually how the name came to be. Like, we would be playing in our drummer's basement, and when we go outside, Tina walk down to the store, the restaurant or something, the neighbors would flip us off, and we're talking about elderly people who are normally kind.
Then you're good.
You're doing your job, buddy.
You're rocking.
Rock on, brother.
Better place.
All right, so just keep playing.
And I was just, you know, how did you go from being possibly a garage band or at 12 years old to getting a record label?
I'll tell you something, I guess. At 12 years old, it was a vision. I wanted to piss the world off just like you did. I didn't really worry about record deals or being big and famous. It's just about expressing and letting the world hear you. And just keep that in mind, you know?
Yeah.
Always keep that real. And the other stuff will come, dude. It's kind of like a little magic ride you just stepped on, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep your passion and keep it real. Just keep creating music and, like, a magical world will come to you, man. And it's a great outlet.
We've already got outlet.
Really?
Well, methods of advertising. A website and then writing the name of the website on every dollar bill we see.
That's a good one, too, man.
You should go out and play some parties in your town and get some of your friends into your music. That'll help, too.
Like, flyers are cool, too. Old-type flyers. You can put, like, demented pictures on them and glue them all over your neighbor's houses and green mailboxes.
You know,
it's great.
The basement thing I was just thinking about, growing up out here,
no
basements. And everyone has a good debaucherous basement story, whether it's the band rehearsing in the basement or them losing their virginity in the basement or Wade stop playing with that coin, please. Jesus Christ, you're worse than Drew. Everyone's got a good sex story about the basement or a good story that involves something going on that shouldn't have gone on in the house.
In the basement.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Garage
right
sound. Garage band.
Yeah, but you can't get away with what you get away with in a basement in a garage. You can't like finger your second cousin in the garage. That doesn't work. Your
the
dad,
trailer.
Exactly. The door opens. Your dad pulls the International Harvester in. You get run over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm saying I need a basement. That's what I'm saying. So I can put some bad carpeting in it and paneling and relive the childhood that I never had.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to go dig that when I get home. And then I'm going to start a band up, and we're going to start practicing in there.
What are you going to name it?
I'm going to...
First thing in your head.
Narthex.
Nice.
Sounds like they rock,
you've
right?
You've been waiting to do that. That's an old...
Narthex. How about smell my finger?
No, Narthex. Uh-oh. I'm going to get yelled at again.
Bruce, what is your function here on this show? What do you do?
We've got a chunky...
He ate a retard sandwich.
Call. I just want to draw your attention to this. This will interest you.
I say things, then you say what?
I've heard Narthex.
I've heard that. You said that before. That's an old
I wonder if you had a band like that at one time.
Oh, no, you're not, Bruce.
I'm trying to get out of this.
See, here's the deal about Bruce. People feel sorry for Bruce because of the horrible beating he takes on this show every time he comes and does it. But if you really, if you'd really just did a transcript of the show and you listen to Bruce and he's sitting there, and he's shouting stuff out. Most of it is sort of, you're very disagreeable. You're slightly, I'd call passive aggressive. Well, think about it. Really think about yourself for a second. In a way, you're almost asking for the tongue lashing that you receive on this show almost
every time
you do it.
You're living out a childhood problem.
Why would you be so contrary all the time? Think about that. Pain therapist, Bruce.
All right.
I'm going to let Bruce give that some thought.
You haven't shut my mic tonight, though.
Unwritten Law is our guest tonight. Rob and Wade are both here from the band. Unfortunately, Dr. Bruce has made his last appearance on the show tonight. And we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew will be back tomorrow night. Or at least on tomorrow night. I think he's still in D.C. Not sure what he's doing there. Rob and Wade are both here from Unwritten Law. Elva's the name of the CD, and we're going to hear something else off of that sometime, I predict, in the next 20 minutes or so. All right. We ready to get back to the phones? Speak to Joe, who's 23. Joe?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Bruce, you're all right. Don't let anybody rub you the wrong way there. You're doing a good job.
No, thanks, Joe.
He's all right.
Nice to talk to somebody with common sense. Appreciate it.
Hey, I don't know that I'm all right. some weird things happen to me periodically where for a 4 or 5 day period, I'll have, quote, like a discharge. Sometimes while I'm urinating or at the end of when I'm urinating, or sometimes I can feel like I can almost bring it on just sitting down somewhere, and you can feel it kind of work itself up, and it doesn't feel like an ejaculation or anything like that, but it's really weird, and sometimes I'll go months and not have it, and then next thing you know, 5 or 6 days in a row, when I'm done urinating, then at the tail end of this, I'll get this quite a bit of this discharge.
It's all you, Bruce.
Okay, you can have an infection, you could have, there are various things that can cause a white discharge, and the location of the infection can be...
Beating off.
No.
Spanking it.
Various things.
And it mentions here chunky white discharge, men can get...
Salty.
Men can get, whatchamacallit...
Spooge cum?
Yeah, so anyway, have you had any burning other than the...
No, I have no burning, but you know what, if I was to imagine... Semen would look like if it was in my urine. That's what this kind of would look like. It's just kind of like little speckles just broken up down there, but it's just weird.
Like hollandaise?
All right, is this a venereal disease, Bruce?
It could be. You have to have a swab done and a culture and a urinalysis and
a vagina.
Basically an exam by a physician. I mean, whether it's bacterial or fungal, there are various causes of white discharge, or it could just be residual.
How far does that swab got to go up? Yeah.
It has to go about an inch. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, now what is that about your body that knows when stuff's going the wrong way? Like when you stick your finger down your throat?
Or up your butt?
Your body knows that the finger's going down your throat?
And things shouldn't be going down your throat in a forced manner.
How does it know? Does it know because your hand is in your mouth? Or would it know it if you were asleep?
Oh, it would know it either way. That's
well. If you were asleep and your mouth was open, and somebody put their finger down your mouth, but didn't touch you, would you know it was in there?
Yes, it's a gag reflex, and that's how you know whether or not you need to put a tube in somebody to breathe for them when they're knocked out. Even if you're knocked out,
you would feel it if they didn't touch you. Like, let's just say it was like, you know, that game Operation.
Yeah.
You can't touch your side? And you're asleep, and your mouth was open. A guy put his finger down your mouth. You would know?
Yes.
It's even if you're wasted?
It's a protective mechanism to prevent aspiration and
everybody
protect your
sleeping.
Airway.
How do you know? How do you know when the finger's down there if you don't know?
You have a lot of muscles in your body that have activity without consciousness. There are things below the level of consciousness that are protective.
No contact,
right.
Bruce. Really?
As your level of consciousness drops, you maintain a gag reflex until the very
Nothing's
very end.
Touching, Bruce.
Nothing is touching. You still would know it.
Nothing
it's like flexing
your
butt real wide and putting your finger
Chris,
up there, but
Chris,
not touching
I'm
the walls.
First, how many times do I got to state this question? You? Okay. You know what I'm talking
yes.
about. Do you see what I got to deal with? He gets so locked into
You're
his
asking
crap.
Me to have a gag reflex when you...
I am asked... Okay, here's how the question started.
Mm-hmm.
You put your finger down your throat, but you don't touch anything. You get that part?
Yes.
No touch.
Okay.
And then, like Operation. Remember the game Operation?
Vaguely.
Here's the deal. Your throat's
I remember
open.
The
Your throat's open, okay? And you're asleep. Okay? If you were awake and someone was doing that even though it wasn't touching, you would instantly know to get it out of there. But if you're sleeping, you're not physically being touched. It don't matter if you're astral projecting or not. Your body ain't going to react to it because
you're unaware of it. Well, that's like somebody yells in the forest and there's no one there to hear it. Or if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it.
I am going to kick
Come
Drew.
On, Rusty.
I'm going to kick
you?
Drew right in the nuts
Robin
when
Hood.
He gets back.
Well,
I can't believe
wait.
What he leaves me with here.
Oh, Robin Hood.
I can't believe he gets paid the same amount. You want to know something, everybody? Dr. Drew is in Washington, D.C. right now, asleep at a 4-star hotel, and he's getting paid exactly what I'm getting paid right now while he's asleep. Do you understand that? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Bruce. So the answer is who knows?
No, the answer is of course you're not going to have a response if you're unaware.
But yet, so when you're putting your finger down your throat, I'll get that gag reflex without touching anything. Yeah. It's just the fact that I see my hand going into my mouth. That's enough to do it for me, right?
Right.
All right. In your penis, things don't like to go against the grain in the penis either, right?
No.
Do you have little fibers that go a certain direction in your penis? Why is it so painful?
Well,
how come you can whiz out and jizz out millions of gallons of fluid each year, but yet as soon as someone takes a soft cotton swab and puts it a half inch the other way, you're reeling in pain?
Because it's not an area that's meant to have any solid things pressed up there, or if you have an infection, you're having irritation of that surface. There's a lot of nerve endings.
Is that the same with the butt? Is that the same with the butt? If you're homosexual and you like getting humped in the butt, but your body ain't normally wanting poop to go backwards up your butt, what would you do then, Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce.
What
if you were asleep and a guy put his penis in your ass, but he didn't touch the sides? Because when I sleep, I dilate.
Oh,
my sphincter dilates.
Is there salmon in your
room? No, that brings up a good issue.
You could put a light bulb in there, and it wouldn't touch anything when I'm asleep. That's how
just
I breathe.
Like an earlier,
I breathe through my ass when I sleep.
No, I believe it.
Bruce,
All right, Bruce.
Does salmon swim up your river, Bruce?
Where's Drew?
Jonathan?
I'm not doing this again.
Please. Jonathan, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend, she just got back from vacation about a week ago, and she told me that she, like, basically made out with another guy while she was gone. And I've been going out for 3 months, and I was just wondering if that was a worthy thing to break up with. Over.
Why did she tell you?
I think some of her friends knew, and she knew that they were going to eventually tell me. You know, one of them was going to tell me eventually, anyway.
I think she told you probably because she wanted to break up.
You think so?
It's
she
usually
seems like she likes me.
Seems
but I mean,
like it, but she's making out with other guys on vacation and then telling you about it.
She's a player.
I mean, she's sort of asking for out of the relationship.
Plus, you're 16. Move on. Experience different people. Enjoy life.
How old is she?
She's only 15.
And what did she say?
She told me that, like, he was the one that, like, did it, basically. Like, she started it, like, and everything. But, like, you know, she said it was just one time, and, like, you know, she felt really bad about it. But she doesn't act like she wants to break up, but I don't know. I think I should or whatever, but I don't know.
Maybe she just felt guilty.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did she promise never to do it again and say how much
she
loves you?
Like, she's all like telling me that like she felt really bad about it and she, you know, she wouldn't do it again or whatever and like totally didn't mean to, but
I'd believe her. Just fully stay in love with her. You know, she's just being honest and, you know, you're not being played or nothing.
Yeah, I mean.
But I'll tell you what to do. If you just go, I forgive you and move on, she's going to look at you like a doormat.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, so, but if you break up with her and then get back together with her in 2 weeks, it's going to look like a weak move, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you do. I say put a little scare into her.
All right.
Hope she's not listening to the show. Here's what Jonathan's going to do to you.
All right.
You say to her, look, I'm disgusted by the whole thing. I'm really put off by it. And you know what? I need some time to think. I'm not saying we're breaking up. I'm not saying we're going on. I need a time. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Maybe it's a month. I just need a little time to think. So just give me some time to chill out and think about this. Then she'll freak out.
Yeah.
She'll freak out for the week or the 2 weeks or whatever that time period is. And then you call her at the end of it and make it seem like it was a real close call. You know what? I gave it some thought. I went up to the mountain. I dropped some peyote with Wade and Jellystone.
Yeah.
And we put a dog up Bruce's ass. I didn't say that.
We both sat around. We polished off a fun size of A1 that we got from the Price Club. And I gave it some real... I did some soul searching. And I'm going to give you one more shot. Okay, that's what you do.
All right.
Get him, Playboy.
And just go, beat off for a week and then get back.
A little adult manipulation.
Okay.
If you need some advice on beating off, you can call Pat.
Our bass player.
Yeah.
And we just caught him beating off into a sock.
Really? Into a sock? Now, was the sock around his penis?
That is not even cool. I mean, people beat off with Vaseline, too. That is like using tar to beat off with.
There's it would have been, but he used a rubber band to, like, tighten the top.
You put it around your balls and tighten the balls up.
Did he actually slide his penis into the sock?
With the rubber band assistance.
Really?
He's got a pig in a blanket.
I don't know. Wow. All right. Never done that.
Turtleneck.
Phil?
Yep.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's
here
up?
After I whack it the first time, I have asked their friends kill.
What?
Is that English?
Yeah.
Vast difference. How do you know that's where the pain's coming from?
Well, somewhere in that region.
Okay.
In my balls.
What's your vast difference?
The tubes that connect crap on my testicles.
Yeah, very good.
Cramped your testicles?
Yeah. I learned in health class.
Okay. You have intense contraction of muscles and structures when you masturbate. So at your age and... for various reasons, some pain afterwards is normal, so I wouldn't worry about it. I don't know if there's nothing you can do to stop that, but it's not abnormal, so.
Keep shooting, bro. Keep shooting.
You're doing good, Phil.
All right, I got a question for Adam, too.
Yeah.
Does Howard Stern get more chicks than you?
I don't know. Probably. I think.
Why does he get so many chicks?
I think it's because he does mornings and I do
he's a chicken
overnights.
I don't understand why they're attracted to him.
Easy on the weed, Phil. Yeah. All right, buddy. All right. I like that. You don't need the affirmative with the pot smokers. You just go, you smoke a lot of weed, and they go,
yep.
High burn.
No denial.
All right.
Spaulding.
It was a very insightful question, though, Phil, and I thank you for it. Eric?
What up?
Oklahoma?
Less fortunately.
We stole that from the Indians.
Yes.
I am an Indian.
Oh, we stole it from you.
Yeah, not much, just like a 16th or something.
No casino money.
How much Indian are you?
I think it is a 16th.
16th?
It's not much.
Yeah. All right.
Honky.
Yeah.
I got
an eighth.
I like the people that announce they're like 122nd Chippewa, and then they go, that's what gives me my tenacity.
Yeah.
Mm. Really? Really? 1/16th, you're 15, 16, something else. I'm not sure if it gives you anything at that point.
Can you get a scholarship based on that?
I think you might. Eric?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
I'm a pretty horny guy. I've been known to...
Hey, boy.
Great.
Anyways, I whack it multiple times a day, but I just want to make sure I'm not going to, like, ruin anything down there by doing it. I'm not going to, like, work...
Hell no.
So I can't, like... damage anything by doing it too many times a day, Bruce?
Your comforter.
You might get sore head, bro. You gotta take off some skin, man.
Don't put any sand down there.
Yeah, you're not gonna damage anything, but one question would be, are you exhibiting any kind of compulsive behavior? Is it something that you're doing to stimulate your...
Of course,
dopamine?
Bruce.
No.
Stimulating?
There are people that are in the process of a sexual addiction or compulsive behavior. Masturbation is something you can do compulsively, but
that
you're
not would be me. I'm in that
yourself.
One.
He says he's masturbating, and Bruce says, "Is it something you're stimulating?"
No. I'm saying you can.
No. You said that.
Well, I did. Stimulating certain part of the brain.
I'm masturbating. Bruce, is it something you're stimulating?
What are you good for a day, Eric?
Depends on if I go to work that day or not. At least once a day.
At least?
Five times.
Whoa.
What?
One or five, bro?
You know what I love? You know what I love about our callers and the stupidity of our callers all the time? They go, I beat off a lot. I beat off a lot. And then you go, well, tell me on average, how many times do you beat off a day? And they
depends go, if I go to work.
Could be one time. Could be a thousand times. It's like, okay, listen, you understand that's not an average? Yeah. The possibility, the far, you giving me the widest extreme of your masturbatory repertoire, that's not the average. I'm asking for the average. You know what I'm saying? It's like saying to somebody, what's the average temperature of the place you live in? Could be minus 20, could be 150 degrees. Okay, is that's not an average?
The kids are
no
just
closer.
Bored. He's just bored.
No closer to my answer after this question. Eric?
Yeah.
I want the average times you beat off a day. Factor in going to work, not going to work, whatever it is. What
Four.
Do you think? Four?
Four.
All right.
That's normal.
That's healthy for a 19-year-old, but not excessive.
Why are you concerned about it?
Random question. My girlfriend asked me about it. She's like, you better not break anything.
Yeah, he wants to know if it's harmful.
No.
No, you'll be fine.
Is it harmful?
No.
No. You break the baby Jesus's heart. That's all you do when you masturbate. That's the only thing you break, right? Yeah. Right, Bruce?
No.
Rough seas make a sharp sailor.
That's right. Uh-huh. All right, let's take a question for the band. Jeff?
Yeah?
You're from Utah?
Yep.
Stole that from the Mexicans.
Or the Mormons.
You know it. Everyone's Mormon back here, guys.
Rad.
What's up?
Nothing. I just had a question for the band and just one quick question for Adam and Bruce. First of all, Unwritten Law, you guys are awesome. Me and my friends, like, we just love you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what's your musical inspiration? Like, who do you guys like to listen to?
Bad Brains.
Bruce.
Most of the dead ones.
Thanks.
Most of the dead bands, not Bruce, but we do like, I don't know, we like Rage Against the Machine. Rob likes all kinds of music, any type of music that you like.
That's cool. That's
you know, anything that's real these days, because there's a lot of crap music out there, but there's also a lot of bands that are, like, really good that you can relate to musically and pick your choice, you know?
Little River Band.
As long as they piss off the Mormons, it's fine.
Leslie West.
You know, it'll piss my mom off.
Yeah, it's all right. That's your mom, though, so Slayer. She could be mad.
Yeah.
Slayer always pisses off parents.
Yeah. My mom got me Slayer album for Christmas, dude.
That's really?
Totally cool.
Mm. Yeah, she got me God Hates Us All for Christmas from Slayer.
What year was this?
This is new.
Were you living it? No, oh, you were out of the house.
I'm joking. My mom don't like Slayer. But she did give me
well, she could get it for you if you're out of the house.
She got me a Kiss record, though, when I was a kid. For hey, Easter.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
She's going to hell. Jeff?
Yeah.
Ow!
Any other questions?
I just got a question for just Adam and Bruce.
Go ahead and ask it.
I've gone out with like three or four girls like the last year, and you know it's going pretty good. Like the first week, it's like, you know, we're liking each other, but then like a month into the relationship, it gets like really weird, and I don't know. I just like don't like the girl anymore, and I'm just wondering if it's like me or the girl, or I don't know what's going on.
You're gay. You're 15 years old?
Yeah.
That's not abnormal.
You're a playboy.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't worry
playboy.
About that.
Keep playboying on. Buddy.
All right. That's cool.
You're changing a lot at 15 and from month to month or
week
to week. What you like in somebody might change, so you need to experience a lot of different people. Have a good time. Don't worry about it.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, good times,
buddy. All right, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You too, brother.
All right, thanks.
Back at you.
All right, let's hear something from Unwritten Law. All right, this is off of Elva, and this is Up All Night.
change. The more we stay the same, we're caught up in the game. And now it's like empty picture frames. So now we're to blame. Said we were getting down on Tennessee and Fountains, but another mountain now. If you were getting down, you'll come around. And
Unwritten Law, everybody. They're in studio tonight. Elvis, the name of the CD. We will take ourselves a little break. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. He'll be back tomorrow night. And when we come back, find a good call there, would you, Bruce? Vagina hurts. Boyfriend asked her to vomit on him. That's good.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Melissa.
Unique.
From Oregon. We stole that from the Indians, by the way, that Oregon.
The vomiting, that's like what the rats do.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Puke Skywalker.
What? Barf Vader.
Barf Brooks.
The creative juices are flowing.
You got any more?
These are pre-prepared.
Up Chuck Yeager. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You push the envelope. Push the envelope.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. What's another one?
Barf Simpson.
That's good. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Talking smack about me while I was
something?
In the bathroom.
Dr. Bruce!
You taught me nothing, Bruce. Unwritten Law is our guest. Bruce was just telling me during the commercial that if you get drunk enough, you lose your gag reflex.
And aspirate and choke and die. That's a very important point.
Bon Scott and John Bonham quote did that, right?
Right.
Jimi Hendrix?
Well,
probably.
Well, wait a minute. They vomited, right?
Yeah.
You lose your gag reflex. So
that was a gag reflex.
Mine's about to kick in here.
It had nothing to do with 8 gallons of vodka.
Rob? Yes, that's the idea. You drink, if you drink
hold
a
on.
Lot.
Rob just beefed. Are we going to let that slide right
he's
under the
cutting
radar?
Muffins.
We should recognize and reward that behavior, right?
I opened a Coke.
What about the... If you call spreading your cheeks and letting gas slide out of your rectum.
Roll up the windows and turn up the heater.
That's what he did. All right, so you get drunk enough and you lose your gag reflex.
Right.
But let me say this. Every time I get smashed beyond belief, when I want to go to bed and the bed's spinning around, I get up, I put my finger down my throat, and I heave into the toilet. I got my gag reflex.
Well, you're not wasted enough.
Well, I'm not unconscious. I mean, I'm not passed out because I drank so much, but I'm as loaded as I could possibly get and you're, still get off the bed.
Right, and the danger, it's like when I go and talk to college resident advisors and they want to know when is alcohol poisoning present, when do you have to worry? Well, one of the ways the doctor is concerned about the level of consciousness from or loss of the level of consciousness from alcohol is you you put a tongue blade back there, and when you press and there's no gag reflex, then you got to put a tube in and breathe to the person and put them on a ventilator. So
why?
That's
because they
will not protect their airway. Then stuff can come up from the stomach and right down into the lungs, and you
drowning,
choke,
right?
Or you aspirate.
So it comes up from the stomach and they don't heave it out of their mouth.
Right.
So when you hear about those guys, such as, Hendrix or Von Scott or John Bonham.
Steve Clark.
Wait, who's Steve Clark?
The guitarist for Def Leppard.
Okay, there you go. When you hear about guys like that, Jesus, someone's been watching Behind the Music.
Yeah, one arm or two.
So the point is when those guys died because of their so-called lack of gag reflex, they were in bed, they were passed out, they started to bring up the contents of their stomach, and instead of opening their mouth and having the gag reflex expel what was in their stomach, they ended up ingesting it or went into their lungs.
They're laying on their back, I believe.
Or a combination of those things. But the point is, when you get that feeling like when you're going to stick your finger in your throat and you... your epiglottis, there's something that closes over the airway.
But listen, when people kick you, I've had my buddies pass out many times of booze. If they were just lying on the ground and I came up and kicked them, they'd say, ouch. But they're passed out and I kick them and they do nothing. I mean, you lose everything, don't you? Doesn't your body basically stop doing all the stuff that it was formerly doing before it was poisoned by alcohol?
For instance, in the ER, you can grind on somebody's chest or press real hard over their eye, cause pain. You can do something to cause pain, but you have to check
the
airway.
Does that wake them up?
Well, that may or may not wake them up.
Well, that's my point. I'm just saying.
No, what I'm saying is they might not move when you kick them.
Right.
And yet still protect their airway. You just got to check. And
all
this is a difficult thing. Most lay people don't.
I'm basically taking your valid point saying, no duh.
Yeah.
You're obliterated out of your mind and stuff's not functioning.
Right.
Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Melissa?
Yeah.
Hold on, Rob. Wait a minute. Is that, that's from some of Rob's fart there?
Yeah.
What is that?
Alberto's. Fresh pastures and fields.
Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yep.
Can you believe Drew's getting paid the same amount I'm getting paid tonight?
That's unbelievable, I must say. That's not fair at all.
That's a radio atrocity.
Indeed it is.
What's happening?
Okay, well, I've been going out with my boyfriend for about a year and a half now, and for the past month and a half, he's been pressuring me to puke in front of him because it supposedly turns him on. And I was just wondering, because this is my first boyfriend. I have no experience with guys.
It's very common.
No, it's not very common.
Amongst high schoolers, very common.
How old is your boyfriend?
He's 15.
15, and he wants this.
Does he laugh when you puke? What does he do when you puke?
Well, I haven't puked for him yet.
Oh, okay.
Can you puke at will?
So far.
Can you just say, I'm ready to puke now?
So he's just trying to make you puke, like being a joke, like telling
him. No, he turns him on.
She hasn't done it yet.
Well, he's fantasizing about it. This is going to turn him on. Look.
Is this going to turn him on, Melissa?
Well, that's what he says. He says that he likes that, and that supposedly turns him on.
Do you have... Do you have sex with him?
No, not yet.
What do you do with him?
Oh, just made out, that kind of stuff so far.
Yeah, and he's pushing for the puke, but not for the handy or the BJ or anything like that?
He's tried.
Okay. Does the guy kind of give you the creeps a little bit? Is he freaking you out?
No, he's real great around me normally. And it's just this one thing that's, like, really odd about him. And I have no idea what's up with him.
And you don't want to find out. You know, people aren't born with the need to have, to be peed on or puked on to have a sexual arousal state. And at 15 years old, I guarantee you something twisted happened to this guy in the past. And he needs to work that out without your help.
Born with the need to be peed on?
Puked on, pooped on, whatever. I mean,
at
15 or 16 years old, you need to enjoy a much simpler level of relationship with a guy.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Wait, what grade are you in, Wade?
Poo.
So, Melissa, does that sound reasonable? I mean,
don't say poo again.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Poop rocket.
I'd hate a poo
platter.
Hey, Melissa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but I agree with Bruce.
Okay.
I don't trust this guy.
I don't either.
All right?
All right.
All right, you don't throw up for any man.
No.
I'll be sure not to.
Yeah, he needs to hook up with someone who has, like, an eating disorder so he can just
hook up with a therapist.
Barb Simpson.
All right. She had something else to say, but screw it. This guy sounds like a real piece of work. At 15? By the way, at 15, if you're going out with a six-year-old chick, you are top of the world, man. You don't got special requests.
He's going to a six-year-old chick?
She's 16. He's 15.
Yeah.
Now you got all kinds of special grill orders. You know what I mean? I used to work at McDonald's. When they want a special burger, we call that a grill order. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You should have no requests other than please don't break up with me.
Correct.
When you're 15 and you're dealing with a 16-year-old chick. You're in high school. She's a grade above you. She's got a driver's license.
She's varsity.
You're riding a moped. You're in the 9th or 10th grade. You know what I mean?
This guy wants specialty sex acts.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Guys got all kinds of requests nowadays that weren't even in my lexicon. Mm-hmm. Back when I was in high school, you know, they want threesomes, they want anal, they want to film stuff, they want some barfing. You kidding?
Yeah.
These are incredible requests. You guys make me sick. Emily?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering, you know, I smoked a cigarette for the first time, about 4 days ago. And I broke out.
What are you talking about?
You got zits?
Zits?
Yes, zits.
All right.
Don't smoke, sweetie.
You think that's because of the cigarette?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nah. You're 14. You're heading for a nice zit storm anyway at some point. It's probably not. Hey, Emily.
Yes?
You think about all the people that smoke in the world?
Yeah.
They should all have zits, right?
No. Really, they shouldn't.
Okay, that was a crazy laugh, by the way.
Yeah, oh, wow. Cigarettes are very damaging to your skin, and
I know.
Average doctor dermatologist can look at your skin and tell if you smoke. So after sun exposure, that's the next big aging mechanism.
But not a zit thing.
No, well,
maybe cause a little stress or something.
Yeah, probably. Well, I was really stressed out because my mom, you know, she's crushing me and
to smoke. And she wants you to smoke.
No, she doesn't. No.
Oh, why is she pressuring
you?
No.
What is it?
No, I'm Mormon, and I don't want to go to church.
Why not?
Because it's just a bunch of
Ooh, what the S word, Emily?
Sorry.
Go, girl, rock 14. The boat. Get a Kiss record.
You're not going to be Mormon for long, and she's pushing you into it.
Sorry about that.
Well, how about you just go, make your mom a compromise. You will go to church, but you just think about Satan the entire time.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No?
No.
Bruce, you believe in Satan?
Oh, let's not go down this road. Oh,
come on, Bruce.
No,
just like born again.
No, I don't mind.
No, I don't. No, I know.
Okay, well,
we don't
anyways,
care.
Anyways, I've got a question for you guys.
No, you already asked.
No.
That's
no,
enough.
No, not you. Not you, Unwritten Law.
All right.
Oh, come on.
You know it's going to be lame.
No, I have a feeling it's going to be good.
All right.
I have a good feeling.
I got $5 says it's lame.
Okay.
All right, wait a minute.
I say it's a rash question.
Hello?
I say the question is an influence question.
Okay.
Emily, go
All
ahead.
Right. Let's
go ahead.
Get this over with. Okay. Where did you guys get the inspiration for the song Track 2?
Up All Night?
Yeah.
Track 2? Satan.
No. No, that's not what I was looking for.
Up All Night?
Yeah.
That song is pretty much about being up all night with all your friends.
Yeah, exactly. But
and figuring things out together.
Frying the roach thing.
Because we're smoking a roach, a joint.
Oh.
And light up a roach, just like kick back,
and
light up a
you
joint.
You expect me not to smoke?
We're not telling you to do anything.
Yes,
we're not a church. We are a band that relates.
They're a cult.
We're like a cult that are trying
Satanic
to take over
cult.
The church.
Right.
Hey, Emily, a roach is marijuana.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Which
know
is
that.
Better for you than a cigarette. To be honest,
I don't know. I thought
worse
that was like something that you.
How many people with cigarettes kill every year?
All right. Good times there, Emily.
Yes, I know.
Do whatever your mom tells you to do. Please.
All right, I'll try.
You're a smart girl. You're a smart girl. You figured out.
Really, do 14-year-olds not know what a roach is anymore? Light up a roach.
Light up a roach. I mean,
you had to speak to the band to get an answer to light up a roach.
Isn't that like a Cheech and Chong type of?
I'll tell you, kids are missing Cheech and Chong these
Don't
days.
Don't roll that joint, my friend.
Yeah.
Everybody must get stoned. He even sang that to the Pope.
Let's Bob Dylan
he
sang that to the Pope.
Oh no, he didn't sing. He sang another song though to him, didn't he?
All right. I'm sure he may. Let's take a little break. And once you give Wade that breathalyzer, I can see what he's blowing.
I don't know if it goes that high.
We'll take a little break. Unwritten Laws here, and we'll be right back. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Rob and Wade are both in here from Unwritten Law. Elvis, the name of the CD. And Bruce brought something up during the commercial break. My partner, Jimmy, told him to break wind in the microphone, and I would forever love him. But I don't know if that's enough.
He said it's a special one.
Well, I'm going to need oral from you at this point because we've gone too far for just farting. But
come on, Bruce, go down.
Let me ask you a question. I got into an argument with Jimmy on Sunday when we were driving home from the prison in Lancaster.
Mm.
And I want to ask this. Jimmy has smelly, smelly gas. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My gas makes a pretty good noise, but it's most of the time, 9 out of 10 of them don't have any smell.
Jimmy would agree?
Yeah.
You don't your own
I don't have the power that he has.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. It's not a put-down. He's bragging about the fact that his gas is worse, and I have to tip my hat to him.
Thicker and richer.
Yes. This is something that he cherishes. Now, the point is he claims it's his diet.
Right.
But I say to him, we eat about the same thing. Why is your gas so much worse? He says, oh, no, I eat more seafood than you do. I said, no, listen, that doesn't do it. He says, oh, no, but the clams alone. I said, you eat clams twice a month, yet you blow me out of the office with your horrible gas on a daily basis, and we're both eating the turkey burger that we ordered from down the street for lunch. Now, what is it? Is it diet? Is it enzymes? Is it personal chemistry? Why do some guys have brutal gas and other guys just have sort of novelty gas? You just hear the sound, but it's almost like they went, but nothing came out.
Well, if you're inefficiently digesting certain substances, like somebody that's lactose intolerant, they lose the enzyme up in the stomach and small intestine. You don't want nutrients or things that bacteria in the colon can metabolize to get that far without being absorbed or metabolized. Then somebody that's lactose intolerant, you get that sugar. It goes down, the bacteria in the colon start chewing it up and making gas.
Okay, so, Bruce, so do I have to ask the question again?
No.
Did I bring up lactose intolerance at any point?
No, but that's an example of what you were asking me. You were saying, is it something in the diet? And so he may be eating something in his diet that he's not able to metabolize completely.
Answer the question, please.
For instance, beans.
Answer my question, please. Can you answer my question or not?
I thought I did quite adequately. But
do some people have worse gas than others?
Yes.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yes.
Based on the diet or not based on the diet?
It's a combination of diet and their metabolism, their own.
Who would be right in this argument?
You would.
I would.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not clams. It's a matter of his digestion.
Maybe some crawl up his butt and died.
No, it's a combination of his diet, and he's probably not completely metabolizing the foods that he's eating. So he's bringing these nutrients to his large intestine.
I'm saying, how can it be his diet when basically he has a normal diet? Now, it's true, there's certain foods that don't agree with him, I'm sure, but that's for everything he eats, evidently. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes, I understand certain people are lactose intolerant, or like Drew, if he eats garlic or onions, he'll get gas.
Poop soup.
I'm putting that aside, Bruce, and just asking if the diet, if the person's natural chemistry would have them tend to have smellier gas.
In a nutshell.
Okay,
in a nutshell.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. I swear to God, I got to tape this show and play it back to you one day.
No, that's okay.
Merrill?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
You're uncircumcised?
Yeah.
Tip of your penis is dry?
Pig in a blanket.
It's painful?
Turtleneck?
Only when I try and pull my foreskin back.
Yeah. It's closed up, your foreskin?
No, it's not closed up. It's just hard to pull back because it's so dry.
It's starting to tighten up, though, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's a stenosis. Is that what that's called, Bruce?
That can be one of the problems. You could have infection there. Or do you care? Is this something new, first of all? Or have you had this problem for some time?
Yes, you're born without an uncircumcised.
Isn't the closing of the foreskin called stenosis?
Stenosis can be the closing of anything when you...
Yes or no?
If we're talking about someone's foreskin, would it be called stenosis?
Not usually.
No.
No.
What would it be called?
Well, there are various
what
causes.
What would it be called?
Turtleneck.
In a nutshell.
I'm trying to ask you.
What would it be called if someone's foreskin was closing up at the end? Do you have a name for it?
It depends.
What would it be called?
Let me just ask him another
question. What would you call it?
Tapered?
Merle.
I'm hanging up on that.
Whoa.
You talk to Merle later. What would it be called if someone's so forced? Because that's what Drew says, stenosis. What else would you call it? Give me the name.
Stenosis is fine. Stenosis is a general term that's...
of something closing up. But if you're talking about your foreskin and it was closing up, wouldn't that be stenosis of your foreskin?
Yeah, you could use that.
What else would you call it?
The one and only correct answer.
Well, come up. Tell me what else. You don't have another?
No, that's fine.
What else? Tell me what else you would do and we'll go with that.
I was going for...
I'll correct Drew.
No.
Next time he says stenosis, I'll correct him.
Bruce said something else.
What would it be? Do you have something else?
Closure?
I'm saying if it's not stenosis, what is it? What should we call
stenosis
it?
Stenosis is fine. I was going...
I want to know what Bruce. We should call it. What should we call it?
Stenosis.
Oh, we should call it stenosis.
That's fine.
Well, then I was right, wasn't I?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's totally different then. Merrill?
Yeah?
You're 15.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, foreskin's closing up a little at the end there.
Not really. It's just really dry.
Lotion.
Yeah, but you can't pull it over the head of your penis without pain, right?
Yeah.
That wouldn't suggest that it was shrinking up a little bit there?
Well, I mean, if there's, like, water or something on it, then I don't have any problem. It just dries out really... It just gets really dry.
Lotion.
Yeah, how about a little moisturizer?
Okay.
Well, what else do you want to do?
Have the doctor look at it.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he going
to
do?
He's wanting to touch it, Bruce.
No, you could have a fungal infection. You could have various things. Have you had your doc look at it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Him look at it.
Jerkins.
Okay.
You're calling
you
from...
a circumcision.
Yeah? Is that...
That's what I was trying to get. How long it's been that way? Is it something...
You might have to cut the blanket.
You can get to all that. You can get to all that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Have you had any discharge? You notice any white, cheesy discharge in that area? Do you clean yourself a couple times a day? I mean,
man chowder?
No, nothing like that.
You got to clean it, bro.
Okay.
Let me explain something, Merrill. Merrill?
Yeah.
Or actually, I'll call you what your friends call you, Mr. Personality.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Personality, let me explain the uncircumcised penis. It's like owning a convertible. It's got its perks, but it takes a little maintenance. You understand?
Yeah.
You got to get the armor all out every once in a while. Can't park it under a tree in the summer with a bunch of crows in it. You got a bunch of bird crap on your penis. It takes a little extra work. You understand?
Yeah.
You got to do a little extra maintenance on it, but then it really pays off. On those beautiful spring days, when you take a nice ride with your girlfriend up the coast.
You know, quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
You'd be stoked on that pig blanket, buddy. Just get her lubed up. You'll be fine, brother.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good times,
later,
yeah?
Later, dog.
Ugh. Carl?
Yeah?
You're 17?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I've been going out with this girl. Her name's Becca.
Oh.
I've been going out with her for about...
Carl, you stepped right on Rob's fart.
Huh?
Hear it? Sound like a little rabbit fart.
You know, we had a guest of this show breaking wind into the microphone, Carl, and you rudely spoke over him.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Do you accept his apology?
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob. Do you accept?
Okay, his ass said yes.
All right.
Wait a minute. Is one yes and two no?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Okay, well, one thing I got to say is good times.
Good times. What's
good
up?
Good times. Well, I've been going out with this girl. Her name's Becca. I've been going out with her for about a year now. And I want to have a threesome with her. I want to have a threesome with another guy. But I just don't know how to break it to her.
Another guy you want involved?
Yeah.
Why?
You're gay.
Are you bi?
Well, kind of. I don't like being with another guy by myself. But when I'm with another girl, it just turns me on.
What kind of abuse did you experience when you were younger?
Why can't a guy...
That's pretty...
I can't be a little bi?
Oh, no. Bruce,
how old is
Bruce? You're racist.
Yeah. Racist, yeah.
I'm racist?
Sexist?
No.
No,
he's saying I'm racist.
Bruce.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you guys can't all talk at the same time. I've had a little too much to drink, and it's just like...
Wow.
So you have a drinking
problem. How dare
problem.
You tell me to shut up, then?
It runs in the family, so...
You understand, you know. Wade is in a successful band?
Yes. Don't you know I live with my mom and have no car?
How dare you address him that way. So, right. Carl.
Yeah.
Bruce. Go ahead, buddy.
Carl, how old is your girlfriend?
My girlfriend's 18.
Okay. Well, the fastest way to destroy a relationship is to have a threesome. I don't care if it's two girls and a guy, two guys and a girl.
I know that.
Undermine and destroy the relationship. And if you need that kind of stimulation to get sexually aroused, then that's a problem. And you're
I get aroused when it's just me and her, but it's something I've done before. I've done in the past. I've done it about three times.
You've had three threesomes at age 17?
Yeah.
Two dudes and your girl?
Well, one time it was with two girls.
Playboy? Bitch, what are you doing with the guys?
No doubt, player.
Do stuff with the guys?
Yeah, it's just kind of embarrassing to say on, you know.
All right.
Okay.
It's all good, dog.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not normal.
He's gay.
Well, whether he's gay or not, it's not normal behavior. And if you normalize that behavior, you're never going to be able to have a normal relationship. See a therapist. I guarantee this guy's had some sort of abuse or some sort of boundary violation when he was younger.
Wait, you're saying all family gays? Issues. All gays?
Gays into one category.
I never mentioned gays. I'm talking about threesomes and needing that kind of stimulation to get off.
Threesome is merely an excuse to get some penis in his life.
Well, that could be.
Yes, but like the girl's disguise.
He's 17 and he's acting out.
She's the disguise for his real.
She's the beard
motivation.
For his dork.
Well, the Indians did it, man.
Yeah. We stole bisexuality from the Indians, you know that? We stole gayness from the Mexicans.
Okay.
Do you realize that?
No.
That's true.
That
absolutely true.
And we stole the foreskin from the pagans.
That's right. I had to give some of that stuff back. I'll take a little break on Written Laws here. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Go out there and get that Unwritten Law CD. I highly recommend it. It's called Elva, and I want to thank Rob and Wade for coming in here.
Thank you.
And getting drunk and having a good time with
traumatizing
us.
Traumatizing me.
Thank you.
And look at them at a national park near you soon.
Yes.
Dr. Bruce came in here. He got on my nerves tonight, but he knows I love him. Yeah. He did a wonderful job as usual, and we'll not see him back here soon. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.